We're going to take a scripture reading from the book of Luke, chapter 17, and we'll begin reading in verse 20 and read down through the end of this chapter. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation or with an outward show. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you or among you. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. He that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And that's where we'll stop reading this morning. More content in that passage than I'll be able to cover this morning. But I want us to take a reading lesson just from, or a text from verse 26, where it says, And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. The Bible teaches us that about 4,000 years ago, the entire world was destroyed by a flood. You may believe that or you may not believe that. I believe that it's true, that about 4,000 years ago, the entire world was destroyed by a flood. Jesus, in this teaching, confirms this as a historical and literal event. And he tells us that the days of Noah resemble the way that it will be in the day that the Son of Man returns. I also believe that the return of Jesus is going to be a real, literal event. The Bible teaches that Jesus will return a second time. He died upon the cross at Calvary about 2,000 years ago. He was buried and he rose again. And now Jesus is alive. And you say, where is Jesus if he's alive? The Bible tells us that Jesus is at the right hand of God. That he makes intercession for the saints and that he continues to be our intercessor between us and the Father. An intercessor is one that stands between. Jesus, fully man, can sympathize with our weakness. And fully God can enter into the presence of the most holy place on our behalf. Today, Jesus is making intercession for those that call upon God, those that are unworthy to call upon God. He makes them worthy by His death and resurrection. But one day, Jesus will return. I believe that that day is close. And every generation before us has believed that within their lifetime, Christ would return. And it hasn't happened yet. But if there was ever a day where it appeared that we resemble the day that Jesus spoke about, it's in our generation. How much more can the world expand? How much more can it advance in technology? I guess those are all things that we don't know. But what Jesus did teach us was that we should always be ready.
Man.
For we don't know the day or the hour that Christ will return. Now the coming of the Son of Man will be public. There's some things that He told us here about the return of Jesus. That it would be public. Meaning that we should not believe those that say that Jesus returned in private. So that some will say, look here or look there. Here's Jesus, He's returned. He said, don't believe them. Don't believe them. For when I return, you will know it. So the return of Christ hasn't happened yet. And it won't come in secret.
Man.
When I was a kid, I was taught some false teaching. And, early on, I would wake up, and if someone was gone from the house, I would say, I wonder if I missed the rapture. Or sometimes people at work will say that. They'll say, well, everybody's gone. I wonder if we missed the rapture. Well, that's a funny joke, but it won't work that way. When Jesus returns, you will know it. Because it will be a public event. One that is met with instead of silence, you get the idea that there's going to be a lot of noise around it, including trumpets sounding. That's an indication to me that you're going to know it. Trumpets are going to sound. The graves will burst open. And the dead in Christ will meet Jesus in the air. And all of God's people will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. The coming of the Son of Man will be sudden. It will be as sudden as lightning flashing across the sky. We see this regularly. Sometimes we'll sit on our porch before a rainstorm and you'll start to see the lightning flashing in the distance. And all of a sudden, lightning flashes and appears and it's gone. He said, like that will be the way that I return. And it will be observable as the birds that circle over a corpse. And that's what he was speaking about at the end of this chapter. That whenever you look out at a field and you know something's dead because you see the vultures circling, in that way there'll be an observance that Christ has returned. Those are all things that we know from this passage about the return of Jesus. But the one thing that I want to focus on this morning is that he said that the return of Jesus will be like it was in the days of Noah. In the scripture reading that we read this morning, it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. And as I share some of these things, what God has placed upon my heart is to show the likeness between Noah's day and the day that Jesus returns. But I'll probably also share something else, that our day today resembles both Noah's day and the day that Christ returns as he described it in the scripture. I was overwhelmed by that last night as I considered the things that Jesus shared and how our day is such in line with what it will be like when Christ returns. As the wind blew across my face last night and I looked at the sky, I thought, Lord, will it be soon? I don't know. Will it be within my lifetime? And I got this real sense about me that it might very well be within my day that we see Jesus return. Jesus would not confirm when it would be. He said that even he chose not to know the day that he would return, but there's one that knows when Jesus will return, and that's God the Father. But what he did tell us was that we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. And so that's the message I'm going to deliver to you. We need to think about the end. Both the end of time and the end of our life. Because all of us are going to meet God. Either we're going to meet him by death or we're going to meet him by his return. And either way, we need to make preparation. We need to be ready today for anything that might come tomorrow. So I want you to consider today, are you ready? Is your heart prepared to meet God? Is your soul prepared to meet God? The coming of the Son of Man will be like the days of Noah. And I'm going to turn to chapter 6 and just read of Genesis and just read a few verses of that chapter about the days of Noah. And then we'll describe how they're alike. Genesis chapter 6. I wasn't going to read this, but then I thought, well, some weren't here this week and some might not be familiar with the story of Noah. And you say, well, that's far-fetched. Everybody knows. You know, we had kids here this week at Bible Week that told me they had never heard the story of Noah. And so, don't take it for granted, huh? Just make sure that people know. So, Genesis chapter 6. It says, it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, and the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, people get really confused about this, but I believe what was going on is that the sons of God were the children of God out of the line of Seth. And the daughters of men were the children of the world. They were godless people. And they began to mix to the point where there was no indication about who were God's people and who weren't anymore. There are several different translations or interpretations about that. That's my personal feeling about what that means. It says, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So in other words, God was giving a warning that an end was coming. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. And I'll just stop there. Of course, you know he built the ark by faith. So in what ways was the days of Noah a picture of what it's going to be like when Jesus returns? Well, first of all, in the days of Noah, there was great sin. And you see, some think that God doesn't see sin, but God saw the sins of Noah's day, and it grieved him at his heart. Our God is a God who feels. I don't know if he feels exactly like we do, but I know that he feels pain, that he was grieved when he looked down upon mankind and saw sin. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. That was the way it was in Noah's day. It says, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. You see, mankind is wrought with sin. And you may not be familiar with what sin is. Sin is missing the mark of God's holiness. God has a way that is right. Now, this is so contrary to our culture today. Because in our culture, we say, well, what's right to you is right for you. And what's right for me is right for me. But yet before there was that way of thinking, God set a standard. And he said, this is what is right. He gave us his law. He revealed to us what is holiness. And God, the God of the universe, is a moral God and has a high standard, a standard at which none of us meet.
Amen.
And the people of Noah's day didn't just fail to meet the standard, but sin grew and became worse and worse to the generations from Cain and Abel all the way through the generation of Noah to the point that the thoughts of men's hearts were only evil continually. Now, Jesus, when he talked about the way that it would be in the end time, that it was like the days of Noah, this is what he said. They were eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. While it's true that there was much immorality going on in Noah's day, that wasn't the greatest sin. The greatest sin that was taking place in Noah's day was that they had forgotten God.
Amen.
That the people had been void of a knowledge of God. And to me, that is the greatest sin that there is in all this world. Because you might be sitting here today and you tell me, you say, you know, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a pretty good girl. I have done what I felt like was the right thing to do. I have standards. I'm a moral person. But listen to me. The carnal mind is enmity with God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. We are as human beings sinful in that we fall short of God's standard. And we oftentimes create our own standards for how we ought to live.
Amen.
And you might be meeting your standard. If you're honest, you're probably not. What I mean by that is that we all think about what we ought to be, what we should be. And when we think of that, oftentimes we realize that we're not everything that we think we should be.
Amen.
I would like to be punctual. Huh? I'd like to be always on time, and I'm not. And I can blame all the people that might stop me along the way in my journey. But ultimately, it's my fault that I don't arrive on time. Or I would like to be always honest. And I try to be, but there are times where I'm tempted to lie. Or not speak something that might hurt somebody because I'm afraid of how they might feel. I'd like to say that I always have best intentions for my neighbor. But sometimes my neighbor gets under my skin. not my physical neighbor, so don't go tell the people that live by me that it's them that are getting under my skin, but mankind. People are hard to deal with. And sometimes you don't want what's best for them. I don't love my neighbor like I do my... I can just go on and on about how that I don't seem to meet what I know is right in my own mind. And you think about my standard is far lower than God's standard, and I don't even meet mine, much less meeting God. Listen to me this morning. You might be a good person, but if you don't know God, you are creating and committing the sin of Noah's day. For the sin that those people committed was, they had a lack of the knowledge of God in their hearts. And friends, that is the same way it is in our day today. People are oftentimes creating their own system of righteousness, but yet they don't know the Lord, they don't know who He was, they don't know who He is, and they don't have the knowledge of God in their heart. Listen to me this morning, that whenever Noah built the ark, and he allowed those to come in. God did. He had an open door. We'll talk about that in a moment. But the difference between being saved from the flood and drowning in the flood didn't have anything to do with whether or not those people were good to their neighbor. Have you ever thought about that? Those people that drowned in the flood, there were a lot of them that people would say they were pretty good guys and gals. What was the difference between being saved and drowning in the flood? Whether or not they went into the ark. And you see, they went into the ark because they believed God. And I know that people didn't have a knowledge of God. And the way I know that is because God said, there's going to be a flood. I've got a way of salvation for you. And the people did not believe the words that He spoke. And it was unbelief that caused their damnation. It wasn't that they were bad guys and gals. It was that they chose to reject the Word of God. And friend, that's going on today. That's probably going on in this house today. Where there are people that hear the Word of God, and yet they're trying to create their own righteousness, and because of that, they're on the outside looking in. And maybe this morning, you are on the outside looking in. You say, you're getting too personal. But it is crucial that you get this right. For judgment is on the around the corner. We are in the brink of God's judgment, and any delay can be perilous. And if you don't know that your heart is right with God today, you are in a perilous position. For you don't know tomorrow if you'll be able to come back to a place where you can even have the mind to pray. Every moment that we have is by the grace of God. But Noah's day was a day of great sin. Those people had become wicked, they had corrupted the earth, and they did so because they did not have the knowledge of God in their heart. Jesus said, when I return, it will be a day like that. So what about the eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage? Those are all good things. Many of us sat at our meal last night and we ate more than we needed to. Most of Polk County was putting up hay this week. They were cutting and raking and baling, and they were preparing for the winter. People are getting married. Ed and Lindsay, time goes on in 12 days. We'll be married. Well, congratulations, by the way. We're excited for you. It's a good thing. Well, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Went by the place over there on 13, that barn there, the antique place, and they do weddings there, and there was a big congregation. They were all wedding. So why did Jesus say it would be like that in the last day? So that people would just be doing life. That's what He was saying. When I come back, people are just going to be doing life. Putting up hay for the winter. Working, toiling, preparing for tomorrow, enjoying their families. All those things are good things. But why was it such a bad thing in Noah's day? Because they were doing it without the knowledge of God in their life. You see, if you're doing life without God, you're missing everything.
Yes.
You might be able to say, well, I'm doing well, I'm successful in all those things, but you came into this world with nothing. You're going to die with nothing. And if you don't have the Lord in your heart, then you've missed it all. In Noah's day, almost everybody missed it. Almost everybody. Almost everyone. You got to know there were some priests that missed it. You got to know there were some people that were very skilled in their trade that missed it. What did they miss? They did not believe God. They didn't know Him. And they thought Noah was a freak show. He's saying it's going to rain. It's never rained. Noah said, God said it was going to rain. I'm not going to make it rain. God said it's going to rain. And they did not believe God. I'm going to move on. The second reason that Noah's day was like the day of the coming of the Son of Man is that judgment was just around the corner. God said to Noah, and we talked about how that God always keeps His promises. You know what God said to Noah? God said to Noah, I have determined, and that to me tells me that He was sold on this. I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God gave the people a period of grace. You look at that and you might blame God and say, why would God be determined to bring such peril upon the human race? Well, first of all, it grieved Him at His heart because of their sin. And secondly, He gave them 120 years from the time that He told Noah of His plan. He also gave them a week as they prepared the ark and entered into it. The people were so blind to God's word that when they saw the animals going into the ark two by two, and Noah bringing his family in the ark, and all that was associated with that for that entire week, they looked upon that and said they still didn't believe. Right. You know, I look at that and say, some people say, well, if God would reveal Himself to me, I would believe. If God would show a miracle, I would believe. Now, I don't know how many different species entered into that ark, but it was a lot. And they didn't believe. You remember what that rich man, when he was crying out from hell, he said, I got to go back and warn my brothers. Father Abraham said to him, or, you know, the Lord said to him, even if someone rose from the dead, they would not believe Him. Now, I look at that and I said, someone did raise from the dead, right? Jesus rose from the dead. And you don't even believe that. You know, Jesus was seen by over 500 people after His resurrection, many of which were still alive when Paul wrote his letters and could confirm that Jesus had risen from the dead. And you know, most of the world, if I told them I believe in a risen Savior, they think that it's figment, myth. Even if someone rose from the dead. Jesus one time, when people were seeking for a sign, He said to them, no sign shall be given unto you to this wicked generation except for this sign, the sign of the prophet Jonah, who was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth and rise again. And that happened, and still most of the world doesn't believe in Him. Most of His brothers didn't even believe in Him until after He rose from the dead. Those that were closest to Him were slow to believe until they saw the resurrection. But you don't even believe Him and you've seen the resurrection. Oh, but you say, I don't even know if that was even true. God gave a grace period, 120 years and a week. And in the week, it got pretty intense during the grace period. But after that, they all entered in. At the end of the grace period, the rains fell and the grace period ended. Did you hear that? He was a gracious God for 120 years and 1 week. But the moment the rains came, grace ended. This is very similar to how it will happen when the Son of Man comes. Yeah. Right now, we're in the period of grace. God is extending favor to those that repent of their sins and trust the gospel, trust the Lord. But grace only extends for so long, and when the Son of Man returns, grace ends. Yeah. You see, so much of the religious world is depending upon another 1,000 years to get things right with God.
Right.
It's not going to happen. When Jesus appears in the clouds of glory, that will be it.
Man.
He said the signs of the times are all around you. The warning sounds have been made. It will be like the days of Noah. And look around. Eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and forgetting God. Just like the days of Noah today. In the book of Peter, 2 Peter, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Peter stirring up the people of God and saying, we should know that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. A thief comes in the night when you don't expect him. He said if the goodman of the house had been knowledgeable about the time the thief would come, he no doubt would have stayed up and waited for him to come in. But nobody knows, and so people right now are slumbering. Are they not? Are we not asleep to spiritual things oftentimes? Even God's people, but much more so the world that doesn't believe God, just think that it's just going to keep on going like it's going. Everything's going to be just fine. I think that's even insane to believe when you just think about America. People say, oh, America is just going to always be like it is. We're sometimes not very far from financial collapse. And you think about what that would look like. It would be terrible. I don't wish that upon our country. But the point is that the reason we have peace and safety is not because of the goodness of us. It's because of the grace of God. Could you imagine if God removed His grace from our country and didn't bless us like He does? The devastation, the hurt, the cries that would come out. Especially you think about the cities where people, if everything was shut off, do you know how much violence would occur upon the earth? It could happen at any moment. We just don't know.
Man.
You see, we just go on thinking everything's going to be just fine. And it is for a while, because while Noah was building the ark, everything seemed to be normal. They said today's just like yesterday and tomorrow will be the same. That was true until the seventh day after 120 years and 1 week. And that last day came and everybody said, this man's a fool. He's getting all these animals in the ark. That first raindrop came, and you've got to believe there was some urgency from some people that have been listening to the message all that time, saying, maybe now I can slip on. And they go, and the door was shut.
Yeah.
Too late by this much. If God would have sprung it on him all at once, you might think, boy, why was he so cruel? But he gave him a warning of 120 years and a week. And people said, no, God. No. So in the last day, there'll be scoffers. And they'll be saying, where is the promise of His coming? For all things have gone on before like they are now. Our forefathers, they rose and they died. And nothing has changed. The world has remained the same. And Peter said, this they are willingly ignorant of, that the world that then was destroyed by a flood. And that the world that is now is reserved unto fire. Okay. Judgment was looming. But also salvation was extended. And you know, one of the things that's comforting about Noah's day is not everyone had forgotten about God. Right? I mean, isn't that a comfort? He looked down upon the world. Almost everyone had forgotten. But there was one man that hadn't forgotten. And it was Noah. And it says about Noah that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That word grace means favor. That God looked down upon him and he loved him. It says that Noah was righteous and blameless in his day. that when all the rest of the world was living in sin, that there was one man that had stayed faithful, and he had a family. He had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And those sons had wives, and God blessed his family because of his faithfulness to God. You know, the greatest thing it says about Noah is that he walked with God. He had a relationship with God. You know what that tells me today? Is that even when the world is going, forgive the expression, to hell in a handbasket. That's what people say. Even though the world is going in the wrong direction, there can still be people in the midst of it that make a decision that they're going to serve God.
Yeah.
You could be like Noah. We like to blame those around us. Well, how could a person be faithful in a world this bad? There were eight in that world. And there were a lot of people upon the earth. There were eight. More specifically, there was just one. I don't know how his sons acted, because it doesn't say they found grace. It said Noah did, and they followed Noah. You could be like that. That's an encouraging thing. You're growing up in your life. You don't have to forget God.
Man.
You don't have to reject God. You don't have to follow your flesh. You can follow God. You make that choice.
Man.
Now, I know salvation is not merely a decision. I believe that I've been saved. I know that. But you're not going to be saved without a decision. You've got to make a choice. You're either going to follow hard after God, or you're going to just keep living like you're living.
Man.
And you just keep living like you're living, it'll work for a while. Maybe 120 years and 7 days. But if you get caught at the end of your life unprepared, you'll be sorry that you did.
Man.
Be like Noah. Noah, by faith, built an ark to the saving of his house. It says about God that he believed him.
Man.
One thing that tells me is that even though Noah was a sinner, and we know that he was, we know that he even did things after this, that we're like, how did a guy like that do that? Because God is just honest about who people are. He was just a man, right? But he believed God. And there had to be some days when he was hammering away and working on that ark that he had to wonder somewhere in his mind and say, do you think it's really going to rain? But he said, well, I believe God.
Yeah.
And so he kept working. I'm going to close with this, my last point this morning. The days of the Son of Man will be like the days of Noah, in that people were sinners, in that judgment was looming, in that there was one that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There are people, there are remnants that are going to be here when Christ returns, right? But lastly, because in that day, God will be extending a means of salvation. And he is today. And he will be in that last day. There's going to be an opportunity for people to be saved right up until the day that Christ returns. There's not going to be a period of 7 years where people can't be saved. It's going to be right up until the period that Christ, the day, the moment that Christ returns, that God extends a means of salvation. Do you know that God has extended a means of salvation to us today? God's saving. You might not believe it, and that's probably what's keeping you out. But God saves. Now, in Noah's day, that ark was the means of salvation. He said, make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. I asked Brother Pat what gopher wood was, and he wouldn't tell me. So I looked it up, and nobody else knew either. But some say that it was probably some kind of wood like cypress wood, or cedar, or something like that. So I guess it really doesn't matter. Noah knew what it was. It was from gopher. I guess I don't know. That God told him to build the ark said, I'm going to extend my grace, my arms to mankind to give them one chance to come back. Noah made an ark that was strong enough to take it through the flood. Noah made an ark that was large enough for all who would enter. Noah built an ark that had an open door on the side. You see, all those things picture our means of salvation today. Our means of salvation today is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the ark of safety. All those that enter into Him are saved. And all of those that are outside of Him, no matter how good they are lost. Jesus one time said, "He that believeth on me is not condemned. But he that believeth not on me is condemned already because he has not believed in the only begotten Son of God."
Man.
Do you see what an offense it is to God when you reject His Son? And you might not have willfully rejected Him until now. You might have just been ignorant of what He had provided. But the gospel is preached. Christ is presented. The gospel says, repent of your life. Put your trust in Jesus. Surrender all to God. And now you leave from here. If you reject it, it's an offense to God.
Man.
Because He said the invitation was given. The door was open. The call was made. The Bible says about Noah that he was a preacher of righteousness. Meaning that he was telling people by just building the ark that God's a saving God. That grace is extended. That the Lord wants to save you. That judgment is coming, but you may enter in. Who may? Anybody that wants to go through the door can come in. You don't have to be a part of my family. You can just come in. God has His arms wide open to you. And the only thing that will condemn you is your willful rejection of the gospel. Did you know that? The only thing that will send you to hell is by you choosing to go your way. If you go God's way, He'll save you. If you go your way, you'll be eternally lost. And it'll be your decision. You chose it. The gospel was extended and you did not believe. You don't know how many times I wish I was a better preacher. That I could put it more plain for people. Why won't they respond? But Noah was a good preacher. And people didn't believe him. But some did. You know, his wife could have gone the other way.
Yeah.
His sons and daughters-in-law, they could have gone the other way. But they trusted the word that he preached.
Yeah.
And they went in. And when they went in, they made it through the judgment. And they came out on the other side on dry ground.
Yeah.
Today, Jesus is our ark of safety. He has arms that are open wide to all. Underline that. All who will come to Him in faith. Is salvation for you? The Bible says yes. Is it available to you? The Bible says yes. The Bible says whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. And as we sing in that hymn, whosoever surely means me. Jesus said, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's not been a soul that came to Jesus that got turned away. There's been a few that have come to an altar. There's a few that came to religion, many probably, that came to religion. But there's none that came to Jesus that were turned away. Not one. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. When I think about heavy laden, I think about a heavy heart. You got a heavy heart? A heart filled with anxiety because you're not sure about where you stand with God? Jesus said, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. You've tried the yoke of sin. You've tried the yoke of trying to do it yourself. It's heavy. He said, take my yoke upon you. Surrender to me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Yeah.
Amen. Why don't we have a song? And as we all stand together and sing, if God's Spirit is drawing you to a altar of repentance, these benches up here won't save a person. But if you go to Jesus and you cry out to Him with a humble heart, He will hear your prayer. And a man is truly blessed when God hears his prayer. When you ask Him for mercy and He extends it, you'll know that He does, because you'll know a change was done inside your heart that you can't explain. And I pray that you'd go all the way to Jesus today as we stand and sing.